Maitreya said, Prachetas, aha, the Prachetas, Anta, within, Udadal, the sea, Pituhu, of their father, Adeshakana, aha, the order carriers, Japa Yagena, by chanting mantras, Tapasa, under severe austerities. Puram Janam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atho Shayan, satisfied. Translation. The great sage Maitreya said the sons of King Prachinabharhi, known as the Prachitas, underwent severe austerities within the seawater to carry out the order of their father. By chanting and repeating the mantras given by Lord Shiva, they were able to satisfy Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you can repeat, the great sage Maitreya said, the sons of King Prachinabharhi, known as the Prachetas, underwent severe austerities within the seawater to carry out the order of their father. By chanting and repeating the mantras given by Lord Shiva, they were able to satisfy Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. One can offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly, but if one repeats the prayers offered by great devotees like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, or if one follows in the footsteps of great personalities, one can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead very easily. For instance, we sometimes chant this mantra of Brahma Sanghita, 5th chapter, text 29. Chintamani pakarasadmasukapvabriksha lakshavrateshu sravira vipaliyantam lakshmi sahasya shatasam brahmasejamanam Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Jami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, yielding all desires in abodes built with spiritual gems and surrounded by millions of purpose trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis or Gopis. Because this prayer was offered by Lord Brahma, we follow him by reciting this prayer. That is the easiest way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The pure devotee never attempts to reach the Supreme Lord directly. The most important way to worship the Lord is to go through the disciplic succession of devotees. The prayers offered by Lord Shiva to the Supreme Personality of Godhead were thus repeated by the Prachetas, who were thus very successful in pleasing the Supreme Lord. Here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Puranjana. According to Madhvacharya, the living entity is called Puranjana because he has become an inhabitant of this material world, and under the influence of the three modes of material nature, he is forced to live within it. The Supreme Personality of Godhead creates this material world, Pura, and he also enters within it. Anantarasta paramanu chayantara stam. The Lord enters within the heart of the living entity and within the atom. Therefore, both the living entity and the Lord are called Puranjana. One Puranjana, the living entity, is subordinate to the Supreme Puranjana. Therefore, the duty of the subordinate Puranjana is to satisfy the Supreme Puranjana. That is devotional service. Lord Rudra, or Lord Shiva, is the original Acharya of the Vaishnava Sampradaya called the Rudra Sampradaya. Rudra Gitena indicates that under the disciplic succession of Lord Rudra, the Prachetas achieved spiritual success. So, Maitreya Vacha Prachetaso Antar Udadal Pitarade Shikaranaha Japa Yagdeya Tapasa Puranjanam Ato Shayan. So, Omagana Timidanda Shah Garanjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
So the primary topic that Srila Prabhupada is dealing with here in the purport is the topic of actual surrender to Krishna. Without the representative of Krishna, who is known as the spiritual master, it is very difficult to surrender to Krishna. I'm not saying impossible, but it is very, very difficult to surrender to Krishna because of the frailties of the conditioned soul. Because Krishna gives specific directions to each and every individual as to what they should do. And so for the conditioned soul to ascertain what are those specific directions is very difficult because the conditioned soul has frailties. All of us have frailties. What are those frailties? And we're not talking about physical frailties right now, like arthritis, rheumatism, and other things. Of course, we're challenged in those ways, too. But we're speaking about the frailties mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in the Isa Upanishad, that we have imperfect senses. We have a tendency to cheat. We have a tendency to make mistakes. And we also have a tendency to be an illusion. And probably most of the time, all these four tendencies are in play. You know, we're making mistakes while we're in illusion, and we're seeing things imperfectly. And we're at the same time, we're trying to give advice to others. So, I mean, all four things probably simultaneously can come to play. So therefore, because of that, we don't really know what the Supreme Lord wants, and we accept our spiritual life based upon our mental concoction or the mental concoction of others. Or we may reject spiritual life based upon mental concoction, just like we were talking about last night. It's a very interesting thing. Last night we mentioned very briefly that many ministers and priests have rejected religion or even a belief in God. Because there's actually a difference between religion and spirituality. Generally, I take religion, or at least in the modern world, religion is taken as belonging to a specific institution. And spirituality is something different. Spirituality can mean that one still worships God, believes in God, or it can also mean that one's just engaged in something that he calls spiritual, whereas in fact it's not spiritual. So there's many organizations nowadays to counsel people who have become atheists. What does that mean? That means that previously they were theists, or at least they thought they were theists. At least they had some, external belief in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they lost their faith for a variety of reasons. One is they associated with some atheists who presented some different theories. There's many scientists who are atheists who make propaganda about atheism, you know, why there's no God. And one of the primary reasons, as I mentioned last night, that people reject God is because they don't understand the justice of God. Because the material world is very bewildering to someone who is a religionist. I mean, how do you explain things here in the material world, you know, in light of God being supreme, in light of God being all good and all-knowing? I mean, it's basically, if you speculate on it, you really can't explain things unless you come up with the fact that God is not either not all-good or not all-knowing or not all-powerful. You've got to negate one of those three. Like this Harvey Cushman, as we mentioned many times before, he said, God is all-good, and maybe he's all-knowing, but he's not all-powerful. That's the prime mover philosophy. He started everything going in the universe, and then ultimately sort of lost control of it. Just like, for example, you know, I started this temple, and I can't say that I control everything. Started the temple many, many years ago, and when it was small, I was able to control everything, but now it's sort of like gotten out of control. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but we have to assign control to other people. We did a question to the end of class. So we assign control to other people. So basically everything, it's not that I'm personally responsible for everything that goes on here, thank God. We have other people to blame. By Gopal. So, and other people. So therefore, that's what one of these speculations they come up with. So in any case, the people have to deal with this whole concept of God, you know, vis-a-vis, or, you know, in light of what's happening in the material world. And there's been so many Holocausts. I mean, for example, in India, there were 80 million Hindus killed in the space of 200 or 300 years. I mean, talk about Holocausts. The one we experienced during World War, before World War II and during World War II, is small in comparison to that. You know, 5 or 10 million is a lot less than 80 million. So you just look at that and say, you know, just what happened with God, you know? And many of the people who were killed in all the Holocaust were actually religious people who prayed to God, you know? So what's happening? Or you look at even very religious people nowadays who have to suffer, even in our movement, you know, people have to suffer diseases, they get cancer, they get old, because everyone's getting old. I did so many years of Sankirtan, preached so much, did so much service for the Supreme Personality of God, and look at it. What do I get in return? You know, how does, you know, Krishna's not fair. So, if he exists. So anyway, people become atheists, just because their knowledge of God is imperfect. It's coming from someone's speculation, which is called the ascending process rather than the descending process. Or they may even accept, on the other hand, they may accept Krishna or God through the Vedic literatures and have a little bit more faith in the existence of God. However, they're not accepting the directions of a bona fide spiritual master in this succession, so their advancement is very, very slow. Actually, as Prabhupada points out here, the advancement is very easy. If one accepts the proper spiritual master and surrenders to the proper spiritual master. Otherwise, even if one is chanting the name of God, one won't make great spiritual advancement unless he's actually connected to the cyclic succession. The example I've been giving lately, as we've been traveling, because one of the holidays that we observed recently was the Ram Naomi holiday, and we observed Ram Naomi in Fiji. And Fiji is well known because there's a lot of Ram Mandalis in Fiji. Ram Mandali means temples to Lord Ram. So we find people who have been attending these Ram Mandalis, as well as the pandits who lead the Ram Mandalis, they've been chanting Ram's name for 30, 40, even 50 years. And yet, the purification, what is the purification they get? Actually, practically nothing. Because after 30 or 40 or 50 years, the reason I can say that, because there's objective evidence, after 30, 40 or 50 years, they're still taking intoxication after the Ram Katha. What do I mean, take it in time? Do they smoke marijuana? No. They're not that sophisticated. What they do is they take this herbal thing, which is called kava kava. Anyone's heard of kava kava? It's a muscle relaxant. So when you take it, you feel real good about everything. You can stay up all night talking to all your friends and makes you so-called jolly. Of course, there's so many side effects, like your skin starts to look like alligator skin after a few years. Taking that, you have liver cirrhosis, another interesting byproduct of that. So in other words, they're chanting Ram Nam, so what's happening? Why isn't there any purification? Because we know, Nam Namakari Bahuda, Nijar Sarva Shaktish, the Lord is non-different from his holy name. So if they're chanting his holy names, and it's eternal, it's pure, Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukto, Vinatvam Namanamino, then why aren't they achieving any purification? And the reason is they're not connected in disciplic succession. It's as simple as that. You know, the name looks the same, sounds the name, same, but it's not actually the name. It's not the Shuddha Nam. It's Namabhash. Namabhash means it's a reflection. of the name. Just like you had the Maya Sita. Ravana was not connected into cyclic succession properly. So instead of getting Sita, because he didn't want Ram, instead of getting Sita, he got Maya Sita or Durga. So you get the reflection of the name. Namabhash means like a reflection or a shadow of the name. And of course, there's some benefit. I understand that. Just like when you go to Ramada Inn and you say, I'm going to Ramada Inn, you may get some benefit. You get free from karma and everything, but you don't get purified. Like Ajamil. He was chanting Namabhash, yet after so many years of chanting his son's name, Narayan Narayan, he didn't actually get purified, but he got freed from the karma. Therefore, the Yamadutas couldn't punish him, and the Vishnudutas were able to save him. But still, in order for him to go back to Godhead, he had to execute further austerities and chant Shudanam. Without chanting the Shudanam, the name, the actual name, one can't make spiritual advancement. It's impossible. Although the name may sound the same, look the same, it doesn't work the same. Because the name descends from the spiritual platform. Goloka Premadana Harinam Sankirtana. The name descends from Goloka Vrindavan. It doesn't ascend. So this is an important point to understand. So even though we may be, you know, working very hard in what we think is devotional service, if we've not connected to the cyclic succession, or if we have disconnected ourselves from the cyclic succession, there's no spiritual advancement. And disconnection is the opposite of connection, of course. But disconnection comes from disobeying the order of the spiritual master. Connection comes from obeying. Just like here, the Prachetas, they're obeying the order of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is a bona fide spiritual master. And, you know, sometimes people criticize, why do we celebrate Shivaratri here? But Lord Shiva is a pure devotee of the Lord. If we worship him as a pure devotee, then that is proper. I mean, we also worship Prabhupada. We have an Abhishek for Prabhupada, don't we? What's wrong with that? Anybody argue with that? That we can have Abhishek for Prabhupada? So we can have Abhishek for any pure devotee of the Lord. I mean, people get real upset sometimes. Oh, you had Shivaratri, but I mean, even I as a sannyasi, I go to people's homes sometimes, they bathe my feet. So they can bathe the feet of some rascal. They can certainly, right? Worship a great pure devotee, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, who is the greatest of all the Vaishnavas. Certainly, what's wrong with that? You know, people say, you know, we've never done it. But actually, he's a great pure devotee. Why not? We worship Lord Jesus. Of course, we're not going to install a deity of Lord Jesus in the temple, or install a deity like it was done in New Vrindavan many years ago, or install a deity of Lord Shiva in the temple. But there would be no problem on Lord Jesus' appearance day, which is not Christmas, incidentally. That was just arranged. So it would be by the winter solstice, which was, you know, one of the pagan times of the year in which they worship. You know, interesting how in Christianity they arrange the major holidays to coincide with the pagan holidays, right? The winter solstice and the spring solstice. You know, like Easter, right? That's the solstice. And also Christmas, roughly the solstice, 23rd, usually a 23rd of December is usually the solstice, and therefore they made it in the 25th. So there's no problem worshiping these great personalities. You know, certainly if we actually knew Lord Jesus' appearance day, we could talk about Lord Jesus, and sometimes I do. I give a Christmas class. What's wrong with that? Or Muhammad. We can speak about Muhammad. There's no problem with that. So, anyway, getting back to the point, Lord Shiva is the head of the Rudra Sampradaya, certainly a pure devotee. And so by following him, the Prachetas were going to achieve a pure devotional service. And even though sometimes the order of the spiritual master is kind of hard. Like the Pracheta's got the order to meditate, actually from their father, who is also their natural spiritual master, to meditate within the water. I mean, we don't give orders like that. That you meditate within the water. And people are so delicate nowadays, even if it's a little drizzle, they have to use an umbrella. They're afraid of their little footsies getting wet. So, but imagine meditating in the water for many, many years like the Pachetans do. So they had faith that by following Shraddhashabde Vishashakahe Sudridhanishya, by following the order of their spiritual master, then all success would be achieved. So that simple faith is the key for achieving pure devotional service very, very easily. On the other hand, disobeying the order of the spiritual master is the key for not making spiritual advance, nakatikatopi. So what does that mean as far as ourselves are concerned? I want to make a point. That for all of us here in the International Society for Krishna, everybody's decided to join, then basically you've accepted as your primary source of guidance is Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. And so Srila Prabhupada has very specific instructions as far as his followers are concerned. It's not really something vague, you know, you have some dream and Prabhupada said to you that it would be good to smoke marijuana to advance in devotion. You know, I had a dream, Prabhupada said, for you, you know, you don't have to chant 16 rounds, you can chant 4 rounds a day, it's all right. No, we have it as our duty to follow these very specific instructions of Prabhupada. Of course, many instructions of Prabhupada were according to time, place, and circumstance. Like, you know, Prabhupada told me to work in South America. I mean, obviously I'm not there right now. And so that was a time, place, and circumstance instruction. It's not like an eternal instruction. One has to have a little brains as far as that's concerned. But as far as the standards, the spiritual standards of the Krishna consciousness movement, or association within the Krishna consciousness movement, sadhana within the Krishna consciousness movement, working under the what Prabhupada established as the hierarchy of the Krishna consciousness movement. The hierarchy means like GBC, and then there's others, then regional secretaries, temple presidents, whatever, for those who are full-time members. Then it's not really our prerogative to change, because once we change, once we deviate, then at that point we become disconnected. And when we're disconnected, then what we're doing may seem the same, look the same, like we're talking about the people in the Ram Mandalis, they were chanting Ram's name. It may look the same, may seem the same, and, you know, for all intents and purposes, externally you can't tell the difference, but you're not making spiritual advancement. And the proof that you're not making spiritual... What's the proof? One proof is Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Gyanam Chayada Haitakam. That you're not getting detached from this world. I mean, your attachments may be subtle and very hard to ascertain. You know, sometimes you have these real subtle attachments. What does that mean? Profit, adoration, distinction. You know, friends and enemies types of stuff. You know, your attachment may not be overeating, you know, the vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam type of stuff. You understand? It may not be that you're eating too much or speaking nonsense or exhibiting external anger or, you know, your mind is completely out of control. Or you're engaged in sex life, or jiva begum, udurupashta begum, or you're whatever. But it may be, your attachments may be far more subtle, and they may be weeds, because the weeds of profit, adoration, distinction, or the desire for liberation, they're very subtle weeds. So it's going to be very difficult to ascertain or understand those weeds, what to speak of dealing with those weeds. So therefore, we can examine to see if someone is an actual bona fide spiritualist or spiritual master or whatever by how much he is following the order of his spiritual master. That's the primary standard. Samitpani, Shrotriyam, Brahmanishtam. These are all based on Guru. Samitpani means He's basically a servant or a slave of the spiritual master. Just like myself, I'm thinking that I'm Prabhupada's servant, even though some of the things that I've been asked to do or in ISKCON are rather austere. Not as austere as going into the ocean water for many years, thank God. I get wrinkles all over if I did that. Not as austere as that, but, you know, we've been asked to do things that are pretty austere. Like sitting in I'd rather be in the ocean water. Sitting in meetings for 10 hours a day for 2 weeks, you know. Being berated by the person, not personally berating, you know, but the person who's facilitating the meeting is chewing us all out for being nonsense. That happens sometimes. Not being able to look at my iPad during the meeting, getting chastised for sneaking a look at it. I mean, so, of course, that's a mild austerity. So we endure this because we know we're pleasing Prabhupada. And if you don't, if there's some question about it, whether you're pleasing Prabhupada or not, I mean, then you should think twice about what you're doing. You know, you should ask yourself the question, is what am I doing pleasing to Prabhupada? Is this choice pleasing to Prabhupada? If Prabhupada was here, what would he say? And if there's any doubt about it, don't take a chance. Don't take a chance. So that's the point that Prabhupada is making here. He said this is the easy path. The most important way to worship the Lord is to go through the disciplic succession of devotees. The pure devotee never attempts to reach the Supreme Lord directly. Another way that people attempt to reach the Supreme Lord directly is they say they're accepting spiritual disciplic succession, you know, guidance, but they're picking and choosing. You know, say, well, I have this guru and that guru and this guru and that guru, you know, other than Prabhupada, let's say one of Prabhupada's god brothers or whatever. And therefore, you know, I'm taking little advice from here, little advice from there, you know, when it suits me. So that's still mental platform. You're still not connected. That's another way whereby you seem that you're connected, but you're not actually connected. And we see that that's actually quite prominent, that people do that. And people fall for that, too. They think, well, you know, he's mixed it up in such a way, you know, taking a little bit here, a little bit there, that it's actually very attractive for us. You know, just like Baskin-Robbins ice cream, you know, many different flavors. So, you know, we can make Krishna consciousness more attractive to people outside sometimes by, you know, mixing certain things. Well, you don't have to chant 16 rounds, for example. You know, this acharya said you don't have to. And we're not criticizing that acharya either. But, you know, but are you following Prabhupada anymore? Are you following your guru anymore? No, obviously not. But you're taking a second opinion. It's like, sometimes it gets very frustrating for doctors, and doctors give their patients some advice, and then the patients say, well, this other doctor gave me some other advice. Imagine being a doctor like that. It's very difficult. I would just say, then go to the other doctor, but leave me alone. That's what I would say if I was a doctor. You know, you start preaching to the doctor. The doctor, you know, maybe what you're doing is not right because this other doctor says something different. So anyway, so this is very important. This is the secret in spiritual life. Everything becomes very easy, at least easier, in Krishna consciousness. And you get detached. The proof that you're properly connected is you're becoming detached from this world. And I've experienced, by serving Prabhupada, that detachment happens. I mean, sometimes the detachment is painful. It's like pulling teeth at the dentist. And just like I was in New Orleans, and there was this one advertisement, the sleep dentist. You just go to sleep, and you wake up, and your teeth are gone. You know, and you know, if you need an extraction. You know, that I was thinking, if I ever need a dentist, that's the type of dentist I would like to go to. But Krishna consciousness is not like that. You just go to sleep, and you wake up, and your anarthas are gone. I wish it was that easy. I would sleep all day long. But you have to work at it. And then, as you're working at it, but you get the determination, mercy, strength, intelligence from the guru to work at it. And then the attachments go away. And it's so nice. I mean, these attachments are like witches, bhukti and mukti. They're just witches that are haunting you. You think they're giving you happiness, but they're just, you know, the attachment for society, friendship, and love in this world. You're just getting haunted by witches. Cupid is haunting you. Right? Like, imagine, you know, I'd rather have a ghost than be haunted by the desire for liberation or desire for sense gratification. Anyway, so these are some points here. So any questions or comments about these? Now we can take questions. You have a question?
Yes, I would like to ask about basically, you mentioned theism. What is theism?
Theism, yeah. I mentioned theism. Theism means godliness or belief in God. Theistic people, yeah. And atheism means one who doesn't believe in God. Agnostic means maybe God, maybe not God. I'm not going to become an atheist because, you know, I don't want to take any chances. Yeah, you don't know. Well, some theists, yeah, that's an interesting point. Some theists, that is, people who believe in God, they also accept evolution. They say that evolution was the way, and that's an interesting point, that evolution was the way that God arranged things, you know, through the evolution of the species. So that's one theological understanding. Others, such as the members of the Creation Foundation, they say, and there's more evidence for this, too. They say that there was actually no evolution, or let's say there was no evolution from one species to another. Within a particular species, of course, by survival of the fittest, that particular dynamic, things may have occurred. But there's no evidence that one species actually evolved into another species. So some theists believe in evolution. The point is, some theists believe in evolution, others don't. But theism itself means just belief in God.
Yes, I know some Christians who are theists, but the thing is, why would God put up survival of the fittest just so we can get here?
Mm-hmm.
Another question I had too, I kind of don't get the difference between subtle attachment and body or mind attachment.
Okay. So gross or body attachment is, let's say, one is attached to eating a lot. You know, they like food, and their whole life is lit. They live their life for eating. You know, instead of eating to live, they live to eat. You ever hear that expression before? They live to eat. So, or they want to acquire more and more things. Let's say people want a car, they become rich, or they buy another car, they have so many cars in their garage. Like my father, he had about 10 cars in his garage. But there were actually most of them, just to defend him, most of them were antique cars, and he was antique car collector, you know, like from the 1910s or 15s, you know, the original Fords. They're very expensive cars, actually. He had a big garage. So so that's sort of a gross attachment. Or one is attached to enjoying illicit sex or intoxication or meat eating or gambling. These are gross attachments. But the more subtle is like the desire to be worshipped, what's called prophet adoration distinction, to be considered something special. These are more subtle attachments. So that's the difference between subtle. And there's also mental attachments, too, which are subtle. Mental attachments are also subtle attachments.
Okay?
We can answer that later because we have to greet the deities now. Thank you for your questions. Good questions. Okay, all glories to His Majesty, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.